Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Poetry, I feel, is a tyrannical discipline.
I was trying to tell a story.
The book came to me in a sort of a haze.
This is how to write a good short story.
No hope, just booze and madness.
Everyone in the world has gone to bed one night or another with fear.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness.
Now, lend me your ears.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Literati, a podcast about books and the idiots who write them.
We're your hosts, Colin and Michael, and we are your literary Sherpas, guiding you up the mountainous terrain of literature, pushing you to reach heights you never thought possible until you eventually reach the summit of wisdom, only to then die in the metaphorical literary mountain because you've run out of book oxygen.
And if you're wondering what makes us qualified to host a lofty podcast on literature, well, I, Colin O'Brien, am such a literary enthusiast that I had an entire wing of my house converted into a library and installed wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling bookshelves that I've completely filled with hollowed-out fake wooden books to hide all my weed in.
That's where your weed went.
Don't tell. Oh.
And I was going to say, man, you've got a dank library, and now I know why. And I'm Michael Wolfe, and I just recently learned that when reading a book, the page numbers are supposed to go up, not down.
It's very important to know. Yeah,
and that's why the only book I liked was the novelization of the movie Memento.
Oh, so now you know we're qualified, and today we wanted to talk to you, dear writer, about creating compelling caricatures when writing a story.
Colin, sorry, I think it's characters.
Oh.
You said caricatures.
Sorry, yeah. whoops. Okay. All right, let's just take it again.
Sure.
And today we wanted to talk to you about crocheting compelling characters when writing a book.
You said crocheting, which seems even further from the word character, which is the word you're supposed to say.
Damn it. Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm going to be honest. I'm not really with it today. My head's kind of elsewhere.
Okay. Do you want to talk about it?
Well, I mean, I think you know
Should
what's going
on. Should we cut?
I don't know. It's just going to be one of those things.
Okay,
I think you know what's going on. I mean, it happened to both of us. I mean,
oh, that thing.
I guess we should tell the listeners that Michael and it sucks.
Yeah, we're a little bit off our game today.
Yeah, because we were recently banned from all the escape rooms in New York City. And it sucks because it was like the best and our favorite thing to do.
We had been doing the escape circuit for a while and just sort of hitting all the big ones and going room to room, getting in and then getting out. And now to not have that as an outlet is, I feel like a professional sports athlete without a ball.
Exactly. Or like, a professional writer without a pen and paper and book deal or any ideas.
Long story short, I don't know what to fucking do with myself.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're wondering why we got banned, I mean, we assume that it was just because we were so good at it.
Which we were.
We were. We were breaking all the time records.
Yep.
And I just assume people were jealous of how good we were at it. And, you know,
that was a big part of it.
That was a big part of it. We also got caught. We were using performance enhancing drugs and we were caught.
We we had to take a couple urine tests and give a couple stool samples, and they took a lot of my blood. I'd say about half of my blood.
And, you were on death's door for a while.
And that was voluntary. I gave them half my blood, and that was one of the reasons we got banned from Won't Get Out of Here escape room. And they found a lot of different drugs, uppers, downers.
Yeah. Well, what happened? So Michael and I went to... We did our first escape room, and it was pretty embarrassing because we thought we'd be good at it. We like puzzles. Yeah. We like riddles.
Smart guys,
we're
big
smart
brains.
Guys. We like to tell people we're smart.
Yes, always loudly on the train.
People. Yeah, and we did not finish the escape room, and everyone laughed at us, and they made fun of us, and so...
It was like a Carrie-style origin story.
And then when leaving the escape room, there was a guy in the alley who's like... I heard what happened in there.
Yeah.
And he was like, I have these drugs. Have you seen the movie Limitless?
I haven't, but I've seen the TV show Limitless.
It's sort of like those drugs. And you can access 100% of your brain. And so Michael and I took them, and then we just started solving all these escape rooms. We redeemed ourselves. And then we just sort of
It was a kind of a Pretty Woman moment where we walked back to the escape room, solved it in about 15 minutes, and then told them that they made a big mistake, huge.
Yeah, and we also did buy very expensive clothing beforehand. So we went in our fancy
We looked
suit.
Really, really good. Colin and I got dressed to the nines and then did this escape room and threw it in their face. And it was just I don't know if you've ever done a brain pill that accesses 100% of your brain, but... You are able to see time. You are able to decode the universe around you, which is so exhilarating and even better when applied to something like an escape room.
Yeah. And we were just breaking records left and right. It was, at panel Q escape rooms, exit escape rooms, brain escape rooms, mystic escape, all of them.
Mastermind escape room, I Survived the Room escape room, Clue Chase escape rooms.
We did them all.
Big Boulder escape rooms, Trap Door Right Under You escape rooms, No Doors escape rooms.
Yeah.
Seascapes escape rooms, Soundscapes escape rooms.
All of them. And
the Chuck E. Cheese playpen. Isn't technically an escape room, but if you go deep enough into that ball pit, it is hard to get out.
It's sort of like when surfers get sucked underwater and you can't tell which way is up or down and you start swimming further down.
Yes.
It can be very dangerous. But that happened to us a few times in that ball pit. And then Michael and I were just sort of going back and forth, like breaking records. And it was sort of like Sammy Sosa.
The Bash
Mark,
Brothers.
Yeah, Mark McGuire sort of thing. And then we got caught, and we were banned, and now I don't know what to do with myself.
There's really no outlet, because I'm still taking a lot of this brain drug, because now I think I've got a pretty big dependency on it. I tried for a day to not take it, and my brain just throbbed.
Yeah.
So it's tough, because we've gone in, we've tried to, we've used our limitless intelligence to put on mustaches, or in Colin's case, paint over his mustache, and they turn us away, and now there's no real outlet. And we thought for a while about using our brains to write good books, or maybe help solve humanitarian crises, but instead we're just really focused on getting back into a room.
We really got to get back to those escape rooms. We'll just put it out there, if the escape rooms of New York are listening. If you'll have us back, we're sorry we did those limitless drugs. We'll stop, maybe.
We're not going to stop.
Between
us, Colin, we're not going to stop.
No. I am so addicted.
They do not have to know.
No, okay. So we're off that stuff.
So we're ready to try and solve fun puzzles with us and then a group of maybe four other strangers who get paired with us to bring down the cost of being an escape room.
Yeah, and I think that I just can't... I can't focus on what we were going to talk to our listeners
today.
Let's scrap the intro.
It, but fortunately, we still have a really good podcast that we will try hard not to let our recent events affect the overall demeanor of it. But I believe our next guest is going to be weaving a tale that you won't want to escape from. We're very excited. It's rare that we get somebody who has expertise in such an ethnic background, but this person writes new modern Italian-American folklore. And I mean, what could that even be?
I don't know, but I think we're all going to find out together. We are so excited to have with us today Melissa Cartwright. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. Hi. How are you guys?
I'm good besides good, all the stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard the stuff about the escape rooms were pretty.
I heard a little bit about it. I'm so sorry to hear that.
I appreciate
too
that.
Too bad. Yeah.
But hey, we're not here to talk about that. Yeah. We're here to talk about you, Melissa Cartwright. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
We are big fans of your writing.
Oh, well, a lot of people are.
You can say that again.
There's not really quite anything else out there like it. No. So that's kind of why I wanted to explore it. You know, as an Italian-American woman, I'm 45% Italian-American. And I found that the Italian-American culture was getting lost a lot.
Sure.
Especially in my hometown. You know, people continue to mate and breed. And, you know, in America, we don't celebrate culture.
Mm.
And I wanted to really highlight my my culture that I felt like was getting lost.
And I feel like in America, it's sort of, especially with Italian-Americans, they sort of seem to paint over, it's just one shade that we're sort of seeing. And I'm sure there must be more to it.
Yes, there's much more to it than just the food. You know, I feel like people just focus on the pizza, but you know, there's also spaghetti and there's also ravioli.
Of course.
And
more than even the food.
Yes.
Gosh, that must be so frustrating to say, look at me, I'm a full, rich person with a long background, a family history, and somebody's like, ooh, ravioli. And you're like, there's so much more than that to dive into. Don't reduce me to a noodle.
There's stuffed raviolis. There's meat. There's cheese. There's
the desserts.
There's you could have a sweet ravioli.
Yeah, the limoncello,
cannoli,
cannolis,
and then even more than the food, I'm sure. Well, so you incorporate all this into your writing,
right? So a lot of fairy tales, horror stories. They come from German cultures, you know, for example, Hansel and Gretel, or
I believe it's pronounced Hansel and Gretel.
Well, I'm no German.
No, you are, in fact, Italian American.
Yeah, right.
At least 45%.
That's right. I'm 45. So, so I wanted to create stories for, you know, Italian American children growing up, and as well. You know, for adults as well. So I tend to focus on folklore stories, you know, fantasy stories and horror stories too.
So in the vein of Hans Christian Andersen, these fundamental folkloric stories.
Yes, call me Hans Melissa Cartwright.
For real,
Cartwright. I mean,
Hans Melissa Cartwright.
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
Okay, I get. Sure. Yeah,
okay,
it's fun.
Sure.
It's a fun
I'd appreciate
twist.
That title.
Well, Hans Melissa Cartwright, would you like to grace us with a reading?
I would. So this is from one of my fairy tales. It's called The Little Mermaid.
So just one more time. It was the.
It's called The Little Mermaid. Father.
I do not understand what you're saying.
Papa.
Yes.
I need to see the sky. Papa. I need to see the sky, Papa.
Yes. Well, you are a mermaid. So you cannot go, you have to swim. But father, I do not want to be here. I want to see the ocean, meet the shore.
This isn't my best work.
I loved
I'm
it.
Realizing.
And I loved it. And
should I keep going?
Or we can pause and we can jump back in. Or would you like to keep reading? Or
well,
I just love that the fairy tale is mostly dialogue, and I could see this like children getting lost in this conversation between the daughter and the father.
And I'm assuming that these are mermaids who live off the coast of New Jersey.
Yes,
the caucus mermaids.
Yes,
like maybe
exactly.
Yes, please keep going.
Italian American mermaids who live off the coast of New Jersey.
So the Little Mermaid, it transitions now into more of a narration than the dialogue.
Yeah, so it was like a cold open of just two characters talking.
You also, spoke a little too soon, open, Michael.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, it's in the middle of the book. You know, I just opened up to a random page.
It's a cold middle.
It's a cold middle. Which is
like a lot of lasagnas.
A lot of lasagnas. Exactly. Especially when they're frozen, you have to make sure to heat them at a low temperature so the middle gets hot.
I'm too hungry and I don't have time. So I just put it in the oven for, you know, at 600 for 5 minutes. And the outsides get real crisp, real hot. Inside, cold as a fish.
I get that.
Also, it's because the middle is fish.
Just a whole fish?
A whole fish, yeah.
Fish lasagna. That's one of the main plot points of the novel.
Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself.
So buckle in, Michael. Buckle
you've
in.
Read it. Thank you so much.
Of course. Take it away, Hans Melissa Cartwright.
So the little Mama Maida, she listened to her father and she went and she swam above the ocean's waves. And she came upon the shore, and she realized, I can't swim. What am I going to do? And so she reached out her hands to people sitting on the sands, and there was an Italian-American family sitting there, a mama, a papa, a little girl and a little boy. The little girl spoke to her and said, hey, what are you doing? Are you a mermaid? And the mermaid, she said, yeah. And the little girl said, why don't you come be a part of our family? We're a big family, and we like having a lot of family and relatives because we are Italian-Americans, and family's important to us, and we have those kind of values, and family's number one. And so they took her in, and they kept her in the bathtub. And that's the end of the first chapter.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
After.
Wow. So gosh. it's also I'm guessing was that movie Splash where they kept her the mermaid in the tub there? I'm guessing Splash pulled from your
with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah. So unfortunately, because my stories are so original, a lot of people borrow from them. And because, you know, mine are more specific to a specific audience. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't get the credit I deserve.
That's such a shame. And I guess that's also the trappings of folk stories. They just sort of like, they get
ubiquitous
sort of, yeah,
in the culture.
People, yeah.
They're everyone's. But at the same point, you should fucking sue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
that's yours.
Yeah.
I have lawyers working on it, you know, but it's, you know, a small narrative folklore author like me, it's not so easy to get good representation.
Of course, are they? So they're not good lawyers. They're good lawyers, bad lawyers.
I mean, I think they're doing the best they can, but they don't have the big guns like I need.
Because Michael and I are. I don't know if you heard, we were recently banned from all the escape rooms in New York.
I'm so sorry about that.
I think we have a lawsuit on our hands, but we just can't afford a lawyer.
It seems like they're discriminating against us for being incredibly smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I feel too.
Yeah.
And also that we discriminated against. And then. Also, we started selling those limitless brain pills. So we were sort of selling drugs on the premises too.
Yeah,
to other people.
The drugs don't make you, you know, like with marijuana, make you sleepy, or like with heroin, make you sleepy. They make you smart and they make you a better
awake.
Citizen.
Yeah.
And awake. Yeah.
Awake.
Well, I wanted
to. Can I get some of those?
For sure.
Oh, great.
Sure. Yeah.
They aren't cheap.
No, but I mean,
don't insult me. Yeah.
Okay. I know you're spending a lot of money
Please,
on the lawyers.
Yes, I have plenty of money. My books are very successful.
Yeah, I'll text my guy who I get them from, and so he'll bring them over sometime in the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
great.
Then we'll take them in 15
minutes.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Perfect.
But sorry to pull focus back to our problems. But,
please pull away.
No. I find that a lot of fairy tales and folk tales tend to have a very strong lesson. The whole point is like, let's teach a lesson to the kids. And I thought yours was no exception. It came away with this very like, okay, here is what the story is teaching. Could you speak about that?
So family values is, it's kind of the main part of this story. The little girl welcomes this strange creature into her home.
Brave. And I picked up on that.
Yes. Yeah. And because, you know, in my culture, family is number one. Mm. It's the most important thing. I really wanted to emphasize that here. I think it's a beautiful part of the Italian American culture. Well, and it only gets more welcoming from there. That's just the first chapter.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yes. Yeah, so it's to teach family first. Okay. Mm. And everyone is family.
Oh. So if we were to truly treat the whole world as if they were our family, wouldn't we be letting even strangers in our bathtub?
That's exactly right.
What a beautiful message. Have you seen The Sopranos?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I think you would love it.
It's really? There.
I've only people seen who season sing at one. A certain register.
Yes.
So there's like baritones, sopranos,
tenors.
Oh, tenors, alto. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Oh, a choir.
Yes.
Yes,
Have you seen a choir ever?
I have seen a choir.
They're kind of like a
I've
family.
Only seen season one of a choir, but I really liked it. And I think,
it's an acquired
together,
taste.
Adding their... Very funny, Colin.
Thank you.
Adding in their different registers to make one larger song, and that kind of connects to family.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Also, I think there was an HBO series called The Choir.
Oh, it's kind of a violent, crime story, but it kind of was the first time it let the humanity of choir singers sort of be seen. Like, it wasn't just a big, tough choir singer. I also have some mental issues.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I really appreciated that.
Yeah, it was a fantastic show. Just 3 seasons. Yeah.
Unfortunately,
They ran out of notes to sing. So,
there's only so many.
Yeah.
Hans Melissa Cartwright, are there other, so you've covered mermaids. Are there any other creatures that you've talked about or...
Yes. Oh, God. Yes. Oh, my God. Endless. My imagination runs wild with creatures. I mean, mermaid. That's the little mermaid is the story I brought to the show because, you know, it's the easiest for people to latch on to. It's a jumping off point. But I have creatures with horns, with scales, with claws.
So a lizard.
Yes, lizard people and bear people. And
so a lot of rhino. Combo human animal creatures.
Yes, and even combo animal human sometimes.
Yes, a 2-to-1 ratio.
Yeah,
yes.
The head of a dog, the tail of a fish, the torso of a man.
And the bun of an Italian hoagie.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I need to incorporate my culture
into
each one. Did I mention the mermaid tail's made of noodle?
Whoa.
Yeah,
no, you did not.
It's like just a wet piece of pasta flapping around.
Are we talking cavatelli?
We are talking cavatelli. Oh, yes, we are. Very good. Wow.
Okay. Now, this is...
Michael reads between the lines. He can pick up on stuff
Are
like
you
that.
Italian-American?
I wish I was.
Doesn't everyone?
Yeah, truly. I'm sadly part Ukrainian-Jewish and part Irish.
Oh.
And there's nothing really funny about that. That's just
that's just your heritage. Yeah. I'm part Ukrainian as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had a friend whose mother prided herself on being mostly of French descent, and then did one of those 23andMe's.
Yes.
And found out she was mostly Irish and was very upset. Oh. And she just went, "We're fucking Irish." And I find the idea of people being very upset about that.
You stake a lot on this story of identity. And when that changes, it's an opportunity for growth and an opportunity for beauty. But a lot of small-minded people like your friend's mom. And if you're listening, you really got to change your way. It's going to freak out the normies.
Yeah, take this as a learning moment, teaching moment. You can grow from this.
I had a relative who thought she was primarily Irish, did 23andMe, and found out she was only 10% Irish. So
it can go the other way.
Kind of fucked her world up a little bit, yeah.
I recently got a dog who is sometimes pretty loud in the room when we're recording, and I did a DNA test for him because he was the person we got him from said he was a fat mutt. But we knew there was probably something more specific. And we did the test, and it turned out he's a horse.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a small, mean horse.
You found out you were directly related.
The dog and I?
Yeah, yes.
He is part Ukrainian horse.
I found out the dog was a horse, and also they... I guess some of my DNA got mixed up in there, too. And they're like, I guess we'll test that as well.
Ooh,
and it said,
happen?
You are brother and sister. And it's weird because the dog is a boy. Yes, exactly. Well.
Oh, here he is right now.
Yeah, the
He's
dog
beautiful.
Is here.
Yep.
Clomping in.
Oh, my God.
And I said a small horse, but still pretty big.
Yeah, he fills the room for sure.
Yeah. Sorry that we sort of had to be pushed to the corner with the podcast.
It's okay. His tail's in my face a little bit, but
don't look him in the eyes because he's mean and he'll bite.
Oh, okay. I'll shut my eyes then. Yes.
We'll all shut our eyes for the rest of the podcast.
Sure.
Speaking of people coming in, just a minute. I think the dealer is here, so I'm going to just go in.
And just so our listeners are clear, drug dealer.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Yeah, thanks for coming by. No, you look good. Same old hair. It is, I used a product today. Thank you. I find it's better since there's not a lot of it. I try to keep it tight.
Michael's actually very close with our dealer. They've become pretty good
doing?
Friends.
Really?
So, she's not good?
Yeah, so
I'm so sorry to hear about that. I can come over and give her another massage.
When you're jonesing for the drugs, it's kind of annoying, but it is. It's sort of like it's a nice thing.
It's a part of it.
Yeah,
how's the car working out? The car I sold you. Oh, you could get another 100,000 miles on that. Okay, so how much for the brain?
So
same old brain.
You ever get writer's block or anything like that?
$50
almost every
Jesus
minute
Christ.
Of every day.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, friend price.
Yeah.
That
is sort of my default mode is writer's block. And if I have an idea, that's sort of a surprise. So
I hear that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah.
How's
Tony?
Tony's good. He says hi. I just found out he's Italian American.
Shut up.
I know.
Wait, Tony is an Italian-American name?
I mean, speak of the devil.
Wow.
What are the odds?
One of the characters in The Sopranos and in The Choir, they were named Tony.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, if you could each Venmo me $50, I've got brain pills, so I'm just a...
Thank you so
you know,
much.
Take it whenever you want.
Yes.
But
well,
it's strong as shit. And it makes you incredibly smart. So,
yeah.
Should I take one right now?
I think you should.
Okay.
I haven't had breakfast, so I might wait a second on mine, but I also have a banana that a friend gave me.
Also, the thing, the thing with the pills is they're also very big, and you kind of it takes a few bites.
You know what? Screw it. I'm gonna have mine.
Okay. Can I? I'm just gonna take a pill too.
Okay.
Yeah.
This one's tangerine flavored. He does little like fun little flavors.
So yeah, it does take a minute to sort of get these pills down.
Well, you know, Italians love to cook.
Is that true?
So that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, they do. They really do.
I didn't know that was part of their whole deal.
Yes. Oh yeah. They love to cook. They love to cook and clean.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. I'm thirsty as shit. So I'm going to just have a quick carafe of wine.
Did Tony make you that wine?
Chianti. Yes, Tony gave me a Camelback full of wine.
Wow.
I called it a carafe because I don't like to endorse brands that I'm not getting paid for.
Right.
Anyone else having trouble getting this pill down?
I'm like, Colin, you just got to do one big swallow.
Okay,
pretty good.
It is stuck in my throat.
Oh, shit. Oh. It'll dissolve.
Okay.
I hope.
Want some of my Nesquik?
Oh, sure. Thank you very much. And again, we don't promote brands, so we'll just call it...
Chocolate drink.
Brown milk.
Okay, good. Brown milk.
Mm, that's good brown milk. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, I wish people could see the picture where like this tableau of us here just eating and drinking is. I feel like we're a family. And I actually am now feeling, I'm kind of feeling smarter than I ever have. And I'm feeling like everything in front of me, I kind of understand and I get. And I just want to, you know, commune in all things with you, the people here. Because what is a family other than people together sharing a sharing a mission, and that's what we're doing.
And the mission is usually a meal. Am I right?
Yes.
Especially.
Yes. The mission is complete eating the meal.
Yes.
And let me tell you, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mission very possible when I'm hungry.
And Colin, I'm using my brain now that is, I'm using 100% of it to detect that is a joke about Mission Impossible.
Very correct, Michael. I was able to very quickly hear the word mission and make a Mission Impossible joke by saying Mission Possible. And so, yes, that was a Mission Impossible joke I was making. Very good.
Wow. I get that.
Yeah. I feel like my mind is moving at like 100 miles an hour right now. Yeah. And yet time is moving like twice as slow as it usually is. Like, it's.
I just saw a clock go by.
Oh, my God. Me too.
Whoa.
And was it, because I didn't see it, I was looking the other direction, was it like the hands were spinning really fast, or did the clock scurry across the room?
It was going across the room, but the hands were moving, but it was waving at us. Yeah, it was like waving.
Yeah, and it was like,
hi,
I'm time.
Hey,
I'm time.
And then,
watch me go, bye.
Bye. Yeah. It was like that.
I wish I had been facing the same direction as you.
Yeah, you have been facing the other direction for the majority of the podcast.
That's just because of my grudge.
Oh. What's the grudge about?
Well,
Michael feels like it was my fault that we got banned from the escape rooms.
I always told Colin, I was like, we got to rest this. And Colin was like, no, one more big room. Let's just go in for one more last big room. And I was like, let's not push our luck.
They're going to catch on to us. And I just couldn't get enough.
Shit.
Yeah.
So I would love us to use our incredibly smart, fully activated brains for.
Sure.
Let's you tell us an Italian American thing, and we try to figure out what it is, or the opposite of that.
Tell you an Italian American like part of the culture.
Really, you got tabula rasa here. Whatever you want. Yeah, part of the culture.
Michael, it's pronounced Toblerone.
Sorry,
yeah. But we don't do brands, so we'll just say chocolate mountain stick.
Biscotti.
Okay, so immediately I'm thinking strong like the bond of family, yet fragile like our egos.
Uh-huh. I'm thinking my friend Scott, who is very thin, and he's kind of got a wafer quality to him because he wafers around.
And I'm thinking cookies because I love them so much.
Yes.
I'm going to say this is like a thin cookie.
You guys are getting, yes.
Oh, we're not quite there yet?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's more of a thick cookie.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess maybe.
That was pretty close.
Yeah. I think the stuff, I mean, it also takes a while for these drugs to fully activate.
Let's try a new one.
So, yeah.
Okay. How about gondola?
Okay. Gondola. Gone with the wind. Gone, baby, gone.
Going, gone. Home
Bears.
Run baseball.
Gondola. Do, re, mi.
Fa, so, la, ti, do, sopranos,
Italians, singing while I'm on a boat, singing on a boat, gondola, a gondola is a boat.
Yes, very good.
Okay.
Okay, here is, this is maybe kind of a difficult one.
Well, it won't be a problem for us because we're incredibly smart.
Yeah, I'm firing on all cylinders right now.
Cazzo.
Okay, cazzo.
I'm thinking Cats.
Yes.
Cats Deli.
I'm thinking Dr. Katz, the animated improvised TV show on Comedy Central in the early 2000s.
So I'm thinking therapy.
Yes.
Family issues. Family issues come up a lot in therapy.
Yes. Talking about your family behind their back and they put a hit on you.
Yes, because you talked about them in therapy.
The therapist is actually a mob boss from a different ethnicity.
Yeah.
Is any of that?
Yes, that is exactly it. Oh, a mob boss from a different ethnicity. Yeah. Yes, that's it.
That's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
I really feel
it
like
means
we've...
It means dick.
Oh.
It means dick in Italian.
And don't I talk about Katsu? That in therapy every week?
Yes.
Katsu?
Katsu.
Oh. That I'm gonna write I didn't realize we were going to be swearing on our podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, in Italian, it's not a swear word. It's just a part of the body.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting how Americans, we find sexuality to be
taboo.
Mm-hmm. And really, yeah. it should just be you and your boo.
Yeah.
That's you know, right. There's nothing wrong with a little bump and grind.
We should not taboolize sexuality.
Yeah. Yes, I have a penis. Ta-da! I have 3 or 4 nipples. So what?
Wow,
it's there.
Look at those.
And I got a big fat ass. And there's nothing gross or weird about it. And that's just who I am.
The nipples right. thing, Michael, you basically just stopped counting after 3. So you're like 3 or 4. You kind of just stopped counting after
there's
a while.
There's too many to really put a number on.
Yeah.
You know, it's like grains of sand on the beach.
Wow.
Doctor told me my body is mostly nipples.
And why are they purple?
Because I twist them. I purple nurple them bad.
And all only of them?
As many as I can. And only to self-flagellate. You know how like monks will punish themselves mm-hmm. because they think that God thinks they're a sinner?
Michael's very religious.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I,
as are the Italians.
Yes, oh, yeah. Yes.
Jewish, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Italian, they have a term for purple nurple. Purpelia nupelia. And there's a pasta named after it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
God, what a rich,
what a lovely language.
They mix beets into the pasta dough and give it that purple color okay. and shape it in the shape of nipples. It's one of my favorite pastas.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
You know, when I hear about mixing beets, I think of Jay-Z. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Michael listens to country. Yeah.
No, I have one more pill. I'm just second half.
Second half of your pill?
Yeah.
You are going to be...
No, we're not getting any of this on mic, are we?
No. Mics are off.
Okay. Thank
you. should we all take another hit?
Sure.
Of
go for it.
Drugs?
Mm.
I love these drugs.
Yeah, these are good.
I love these drugs. Mm-hmm.
I feel there's nothing, and this is going to be a great episode for our listeners, because there's nothing more compelling than watching or listening to other people have a psychedelic experience.
Yeah.
You really got crispy ones. So
well, you get the deep fried pills.
So what if we gave you, I know you are very much a writer, but what if we gave you writing things within the writing world, and you used your brain to sort of decipher them, what they mean to you.
I bet I'd be able to decipher them, no problem, and I'm an expert.
Fantastic.
Okay, great. Okay,
so what are you thinking?
I've got one.
Got one. Go for it.
Okay, epitaph.
Epitaph. Easy. It is a catastrophe that takes place in an epic story. A catastrophe of epic proportions, an epitaph.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
And we're going to be grading these by whether or not they feel right.
Yes.
And that 100% does.
Denouement.
Denouement. Let's see. Well, it's when you have a day
mm-hmm.
that's new. Mm. With your mom. It's like spending a great day with your mom. You need to visit your mom.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's important in literature because often mothers are the center of stories. Even if there's not literally a mother in the story, the spirit of most stories are derived from a mother and motherhood. Take a look at Harry Potter, for example.
Mm.
And I have to say, this rings true to me because I had a lot of trouble early on in childhood grasping the concept of days and nights and time. And so every morning I'd turn to my mother and I'd be like, "Day new, Mom?" And she'd be like, "Yes, Colin." She was very tired of
it. That's where it came from.
Explaining to me that, yes, it's a new day, Colin.
Yes, the man who invented the term "day new, Mom," he said that to his mother nearly every day. So, wow, you're in good company.
That's how language gets invented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I really love that because I think that family is important.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I firmly believe.
Wow.
Yeah, I do too. And I really wish mine would come back to me. So,
but you are yet to apologize.
Yeah. Well, I will not apologize for ruining the family picnic for the 15th year in a row. And the last five, they were like, this is your last shot. I ruined it again. And then they were like, you're out.
Wow. Yeah. Well, they need to read The Little Mermaid.
Yes, and learn a thing or two.
Learn a thing or two about the importance of family. And they need to accept you into their bathtub, no matter what kind of creature you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Now, you know, the fact that you're so good at creatures and creating creatures makes me wonder if maybe you could help Colin and I with a little thing, a little project we've been planning.
Sure.
So have you heard of the Game of Thrones show?
Yeah.
It's on HBO that had the choir.
Oh, yes.
So it just ended after, I think, about 100 seasons.
Wow.
And it was based on, not a lot of people know, it's a nerdy show about fantasy and dragons and knights. Mm-hmm. And it was based on books.
Right.
So that's amazing.
Yes, books, and literature.
And the TV show was very big. And so the books sales went through the roof. And now that the show is over, I feel like there's this big hole in the market for people to write the next big epic fantasy sci-fi.
The next big epitaph.
And Colin and I were trying to write that, and we just had really shit ideas.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to elicit the help of someone who can kind of craft these worlds and monsters.
Sure. Yeah, that's where I come in.
Okay, great.
And so, all we need is, I think it was, we need about 10 books. They're all about 500 pages.
Okay.
I think one of the things that made Game of Thrones great was a ton of characters, too many to really keep track of. And a lot of also magic and fantasy. So we're just looking for kind of an outline of a 10 book series.
Okay. Well, here's a pitch for a character.
Great. Okay. We're starting strong.
Michael the Angel, the Archangel, works at a deli.
Okay.
So it's kind of mixing heavenly creatures in the world of sandwich making. And you have, you know, somebody, you're taking a number at the deli counter and somebody behind the counter with wings who's making you your sandwich, and they have the power to send your mouth to heaven or to hell. Oh,
and I'm also imagining that their angel wings have hairnets over them too.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Yeah, I don't want a feather in my hoagie.
No,
you don't.
No, you don't at all. I love this because this is a character I could watch or read about for so many pages. Because they are this divine creature.
And also setting it at a deli, this allows for a rotating cast of characters who can constantly be coming in. If we like them, they can come back. They can be regulars.
Yeah.
If they don't...
Heaven's Deli, perhaps.
Heaven's Deli.
Yes.
And God owns it, and Michael just works there.
Michael just works there. And Peter... is in charge of keeping the line.
Yes.
St. Peter. Yeah.
Peter.
He'd probably be associated with like the taking the number part
Yes,
of the,
yes, yeah. exactly.
Okay, so what I like about this already is that it's modern day. Mm-hmm. I think Game of Thrones made a huge mistake by putting it in the past.
I think that was a big mistake as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I would say that Michael the Archangel also drives ride shares. He does a lot of like Lyft and Uber driving
100%.
To make extra money. And that's where we can get him to travel from town to town, from city to city, when maybe his deli runs out of meat and God's going to be mad.
Yeah. And I think also to add in a part about like maybe Michael fucking another one of the angels.
Add some sex into there. Yeah.
His brother or sister.
Yes, we need a little bit of incest.
Yeah. So I think all the angels in this world are brother and sister. They're all one big family because that's important.
Yes, of course.
And have them all, you know, having a big orgy at the deli, touching, something like that.
Playing with the meats.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe at some point somebody's wings get cut off in the meat slicer or something.
That's a character
like that.
Change.
Oh, no.
Okay, maybe that happens in book three.
Yes, yes.
And then maybe it's Michael, and then he's got to find out, who am I without my wings?
That sounds good.
Yeah, and maybe part of that book is Michael trying to get his wings back, but then at some point realizes he didn't need the wings.
And then later on realizes, I needed the wings more than I thought.
Yeah, because when he tries to fly, he fell.
Dies.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Which is the first time people didn't know angels could die. And he's like, was I an angel or was I just a human with wings? And then boom, we're pulling the rug out from the reality of
our
series.
Now that is a season finale.
now we need a villain. Because we just got a bunch of angels fucking in a tower.
We're all related and they're the good guys.
And I would say, like, I know the first thing that comes to my mind is the devil, and I think that's a mistake.
It's too on the nose.
Yes, way too obvious.
I was thinking, what if it was okay, now hear me out on this.
Okay, we're listening.
You're both listening. Okay, what if it's a little angry troll?
So we're taking
from this fantasy.
Sure. Troll under the bridge kind of thing with riddles. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so, like, riddles? Like, do they have to answer? Is that
the troll only speaks in riddles?
Okay. So, like, what would be an example of like a riddle?
Yes, I would love to give you an example of a riddle. So the troll comes into the deli. This is maybe halfway through book one. Troll at this point, kind of a nice troll.
So half of the book, you've been like, I've just been enjoying this nice book about sibling angels fucking.
Mm-hmm.
And now this troll's coming out of nowhere.
Okay, just another deli customer. The troll orders a just mustard sandwich, which is weird, but for trolls.
I mean, that's your first clue that this is something off with this guy.
The way he orders it, though, he says, what have bread but no meat? What have a head but no feet? What have...
Now, does Mike like chime in and be dude, I really gotta... Yeah. There's a line behind you.
Yeah, exactly. He says, what has hands but no face? What has running but no place? And so each
I do not have all day.
A head and no feet? That's actually lettuce, okay? Hands but no face? I was going to say clock. But clock has a face.
Which, by the way, the clock has gone. Did anyone see the clock go by again?
Yeah, it said bye.
Bye.
So back to the riddles. he said, what has a home but no door? What has...
And that would be...
a home but no door. a website has a homepage.
That's really good.
I'm not sure what kind of, and this is a mustard sandwich.
Yeah. So that's, then Michael's like, okay, dude, either Peter is actually running the line. He's like, yeah, you got to order. You got to get out of here.
Wow.
Eat order or you get out of here. Next number 14.
You get the part.
I would love I'm honored just to be able to audition.
Yes.
Michael. Yeah. I mean, didn't want to say you're wasting your time, but you do go out on a lot of auditions for books.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Well, I'll get there. It's just feet to the pavement. I'm just pounding it. I'm trying.
And the main note you get is that they're like, we don't need an actor. We just sort of type it out on pages.
Well, if they want to bring it to life, they should probably put a person in it. And I would love to be in a book. Anyway, so Peter kicks him out and he gets mad and he decides to raise an army of the undead and he becomes the Night King.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
How did you come up with that?
Just kind of came to me.
Wow. Must be those pills.
Yeah, those pills. Yeah.
Yeah. The second one didn't really hit as succinctly as the first one did, but I definitely felt it.
It also is sometimes like when people take edibles, they think that, like, oh, this didn't work. I'll take another one.
What are you talking about? Edibles of?
Of pasta.
Okay, yeah. Pasta edibles. Yeah.
Ravioli. Rigatoni.
Casserole.
Hot dog.
Lasagna.
Macaroni.
Yeah. All those guys.
Fajoule.
Pasta menu.
God, it's so cool to speak to someone who has just such a comprehensive understanding of the Italian American experience.
I like to imagine the little mermaid with her her noodle tail, but doing that like the hand gesture associated with
if you read the character description, she's actually described as quite frequently snapping her fingers in that kind of way. She adds a snap at the gestures and then snaps at the end. Little mermaid.
Oh, and then I haven't read the full book yet. In the bathtub, she gets hot water. She ever make a bunch of pasta in
that
bathtub?
Are you sure you haven't read to the end?
All right, I'm a big fan. I've read to the end. I was trying to play it cool.
Well,
that was my favorite part.
It turns horror at one point. And I don't want to spoil it for anyone that's listening, but spoiler alert.
Yeah.
They boil her. in the bathtub.
And she has to watch them eat her tail.
Yes, but then it turns back into fantasy because after they boil her pasta tail and share it at the family meal, she grows legs.
Oh, my God.
And she can be human and a part of the family and help them smash grapes.
And that is just really brings that lesson home that family is so important and change who you are to become part of a new family.
But then book, it's on the last page, right? When you think it's going to wrap up in a nice, neat little package, they then eat her real legs then.
Oh,
and,
fuck.
Yeah.
Another spoiler.
Takes a hard turn for horror right at the end again.
Yes. And boy, does blood make a good marinara.
Oh. No. And now that is a spicy meatball.
That is a spicy meatball.
That is a very spicy meatball. Very spicy meatball.
Well, meatball. I just wanted to hear what's on the horizon for you. What's next for Hans Melissa Cartwright?
Right. So I have a novel coming out that's actually about a deli, but it has nothing to do with heaven or hell. Hmm. It's more like if Sweeney Todd were set in Little Italy in New York City. Hmm. And there's a man named Sweeney Tony.
Yeah.
And not sure if you can see where this is going, but I'll just keep explaining. Sweeney Tony has a barbershop, and he invites people in to come to the barbershop, and he feeds them pizza while they're waiting to get their hair cut until their stomachs explode. And their intestines fill up with pizza, and he creates these sausages out of their intestines that are pizza-filled sausages and a
pizza roll. Like those pizza rolls.
Like a pizza roll, exactly.
Sort of like a pizza roll.
Or like a pizza roll.
It's like a pizza roll.
Yeah.
It's like a...
Oh, yeah, I guess it is like that.
It's kind of like a pizza roll.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is like that.
But inside of sausage.
Ah.
And the intestines like the casing. And so he has this really successful pizza roll sausage business. And I don't want to spoil the rest of it, but you kind of can maybe can see.
He gets shut down for violating health code.
No.
Well, now I got to read this darn book.
Well, what am I? Not predictable.
I did not know how that sentence was going to end.
I'm not predictable.
I think these pills broke her.
If I'm not nothing, I'm not unpredictable.
Hans Melissa, you're caught in a loop. You're caught in a loop.
You're licking the microphone.
You're caught in a loop. Yeah.
I chew my tongue.
Oh, God.
It tastes like sausage.
Oh, my God. She's going into the book.
Drink the brown milk.
There's the clock.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you all right?
Sorry, guys. I'm back.
Thank goodness.
Gotta have nothing to level out your high.
Michael and I
drink.
Have had to deal with a couple people ODing on these brain pills. And
Brain explodes.
It's not fun
for
us. Yeah. Brain or the person who ODs, explodes. Yeah.
You guys aren't going to sell my brain in a pizza roll, are you?
Maybe.
No comment. So do you have any advice to young aspiring readers and writers?
Yeah, 100%. I would say focus on the Italian American culture and try, you know, even if that's not part of who you are.
Or the book you're writing,
just focus on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 'cause I think the values of my culture in particular really enhance, you know, family values.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. Yeah. And again, you're saying this is for everyone, even if you're maybe 45% Italian-American, 55%, maybe even if you're only 15% Italian-American.
Still, there's no book that's not going to be
bettered for...
Yeah, I recently read a 1984 and I was like, pretty good. Not that many Italian-Americans.
Yeah,
and the family values are at an all-time low in that book.
Yes.
Probably because...
Well, except for the big brother.
There is a big brother.
But wow. He's kind of mean, not treating his little brother. It's sort of the big brother's the villain in that. And we're looking for more like family unity.
Family unity, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Family is a unifying force, not a force that pulls us apart.
And just because you have the title of being big brother doesn't mean you are one.
Yeah.
That's true. And I just want to say that you, Colin, and you, Hans Maria Cartwright,
Hans Melissa, but
what'd I say?
Maria. I wish my name was Maria.
It's a little bit more Italian. Well, Hans Melissa Cartwright, Colin O'Brien, you're the family I choose.
Wow.
And yeah, I have family that I was born into, but they stink.
Yeah, and I would also like to say, Hans Melissa Cartwright, you are the family that I choose.
Wow.
And hi, Michael.
Hi, Colin.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa. Colin, you don't think I'm part of your family at all?
I'm kind of on the fence about you, honestly. Like, just as a person, like, I'm just on the fence.
I see why you're saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't, like, if I saw you on my doorstep, I might not open the door.
Even as a person who largely endorses family values, I see why you would think that about it.
Something about you I just don't trust.
Yeah. Yeah. Something about his eyes or something.
Yeah.
This
how they're like darting back and forth.
Yeah.
Like he's always like looking around the room to like, I don't know, it's like, what is he waiting for?
You don't quite trust him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you need to trust part of your family.
Yeah. And he licks his teeth a lot.
Yeah. You don't have anything in your teeth. You're fine.
Yeah. So stop licking him, buddy.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. I'm going to
That can't
leave.
Be true.
No.
Come on.
And I'm going to climb out of the window.
No.
Worst stuff will happen to you, probably.
And I'm going to take the fire escape all the way down to the ground.
No.
And I'm going to get on a big old boat.
No.
Michael, no.
And I'm going back to the Ukraine.
Michael, no. No. No.
I've had it with both of you.
No.
If you're the family I choose, then I'm a fucking idiot.
Oh, Michael, no.
No.
I'm pissed off.
No.
Michael, no.
I changed my mind. Okay, I'll stay.
Thank you. That's more like it, Michael.
You're part of our family.
Yeah.
And you know what? The lesson I learned? Sometimes family stinks.
Family stinks. Isn't that, what's that song?
Love stinks?
It's family stinks.
Family
right?
stinks? Oh, wait, no.
Family stinks.
I don't know that song.
You know, it goes like, family stinks.
We will, I'll Google
it. Well, you're not hearing it with the beat underneath, Michael. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
Maybe
so if, what if I did like,
family stinks. Family stinks. Family stinks.
Now is it starting to.
Oh, the family stinks.
Mom and dad. Mom and dad suck. Brother and sister. Brother, sister suck. Brother, mother. Brother, mother, father,
family
stinks. Brother, mother,
family stinks.
Mother, father, sister,
get those cousins.
Brother, brother, cousin,
get them out of here.
Cousin, uncle,
I don't want them anywhere
cousin,
near.
Cause
my family stinks.
Grandma, grandpa.
Yeah, my family stinks.
Grandpa, grandpa.
Good night.
I love that song.
It's a good song.
It's not, you know, in line with my values, but
but it's got a good beat, and you know, you know, a music taps into something that you know, it's not, it can't just be about the head, you know,
yes,
it taps into the heart
and the body,
you know, exactly,
yeah,
you know,
100%,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Hans
thank
Melissa
you so
Cartwright.
Much for having
Please,
me.
Please,
check
joy.
Out her writing of new modern Italian American folklore on bookstores and the internet now.
That's exactly where you can find it. Thank you so much, Michael and Colin.
Thank
it's
you.
Been a pleasure. And grazie.
What
and,
the heck does that mean?
Arrivederci. Thank you. And goodbye.
And that's the end of that chapter.
What were those last few words you said?
What the heck were those words?
Grazie means thank you.
I think, wait, Wayne Grazie?
Grazie.
The hockey player?
Grazie.
Wayne Gratzier scored another goal of the hockey puck.
You said Avicii? The DJ?
Arrivederci.
Avicii.
Arrivederci. It's like a fish.
Arrivederci.
It's like a fish. It's a word for goodbye, or for an Italian kind of fish.
And that's the end of that chapter.
That's the end of that chapter.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.